Well, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Juno Afternoon. Pat Moore, your host today. In a little bit, we'll have Sarah Newsham here from the Canvas to talk about the December class schedule at the Canvas. And we have a set of special guests, Nora Nick Dauernauer, Carol Feller Brady, are putting together a program at the Juno Library, and they're going to tell us all about it on the show today. And the new CEO of United Way Southeast Alaska, Wayne Stevens, will join us here. The weather forecast, I think you already know it's snowing out there. We have a winter weather advisory out until 9 a.m. Saturday. Tonight looks like an accumulation of 3 to 5 inches with lows around 27, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. The snow should diminish on Saturday.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. With the nation's debt soaring, a bipartisan group of lawmakers are pushing to allow internet gambling. Matt Laszlo reports from Washington that if it's allowed, Native leaders want to protect tribal sovereignty, though some tribes oppose online gambling.
The nation's debt has hit the $15 trillion mark, and that has lawmakers frantically looking for new revenue streams. Many members say internet gambling is an easy way to bring in billions of dollars in federal revenue. Currently, 43% of all gaming in the U.S. is controlled by tribes. Senate Indian Affairs Chairman Daniel Akaka says that makes it essential for Congress to examine the potential impact on tribes from any internet gambling legislation.
It is critical that the committee explore this issue to find out what it would mean for tribes and their traditional Indian gaming facilities.
Gaming brings in billions of dollars to tribes across the U.S. Bruce Bossom is chairman of the Mohican Tribe of Connecticut. He says any new law must protect the gains made by tribes since the 80s.
And at the same time, it must allow us the opportunity to compete on a fair and level playing field with all other interests in any legalized internet gaming market. Given a fair chance, Indian tribes can compete and be as successful as anyone else. And all tribes would agree that there must not be a head start for Nevada, New Jersey, or anyone else into the internet gaming market.
Currently, there's no Senate legislation to legalize online gambling. But in the House, Texas Congressman Joe Barton has introduced legislation to allow online poker. His bill is opposed by tribes, partly because it would tax tribal revenues. While many tribes want online gaming to be legalized in the U.S., not all are on board. Last year, more than $26 billion was brought into 236 tribes, spread out across 28 states from traditional gaming. Glenn Gobin is vice chairman of Washington's Tulalip tribes. He says that traditional revenue is threatened by online gaming.
The Tulalip tribe sees legalization of internet gambling as a direct threat to the economic growth in Indian country, and we do not support legislation that legalizes internet gambling.
It's unclear if this Congress will try to pass internet gambling legislation, but it has support from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. Tribal leaders still disagree on whether it's a good idea or not, but if it does become a reality, tribes are fighting for a fair seat at the table. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
Canadian singer-songwriter Buffy St. Marie hopes fans of her latest album, Running for the Drum, will not only enjoy the music, but will learn from it. National Native News anchor Antonia Gonzalez has more.
Buffy St. Marie says the album includes fun dance songs, protest songs, and powwow and rock courses. The song No No Keshegesh addresses environmental greed. She says indigenous people have long opposed development that would harm the earth. Recently, native people have strongly opposed a plan to bring oil from Canadian tar sands to the United States.
It's obvious that a few people in the world are just trying to gobble up all available lands and natural resources. And this is not new, but it continues. So it's something that we just have to be aware of and continue to oppose better than we have opposed it in the past.
She talked about indigenous issues and her latest album after a performance in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
During this week in 2005, the Canadian government announced its $2 billion compensation plan for former students of Indian residential schools. This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. If you are a Native American who was denied a farm loan or loan servicing from the USDA between 1981 and late 1999, you could get a payment of up to $50,000 or more from a $760 million settlement. Claims must be filed by December 27, 2011. Learn about getting free help filing a claim at IndianFarmClass.com or by calling 1-888-233-5506. Paid for by the Keefe's Eagle Settlement Fund. Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News. This year, there are some changes to the Douglas Community tree lighting brought about by the removal of the Douglas Community United Methodist Church spruce tree. So the event has been moved now, and it'll be at Pioneer Pavilion in Civico Park at 105 Savico Road. There's a lodgepole pine that was donated by Coca-Cola distributors, and Southeast Directors will deliver that tree to the park, and it'll be placed at the back of the pavilion. The tree will be lit for the 30 days of December, but they're going to light it tonight. So at 7 o'clock tonight over in Douglas, there will be a Christmas tree lighting in Pioneer Pavilion. The City of Juneau Pipe Band will play pipe carols. Keith Giles, Roswick Giles Music, will provide the sound, and the Reverend Cindy Roberts, Pac-10 Boy Scouts, and the Tongass Council Girl Scouts will take part in the program. Mayor Bruce Patello will turn on the tree lights, and Douglas Methodist men will host refreshments. Then following that, at 8 p.m. tonight, there will be the Skate with Santa at Treadwell Arena at 105 Savico Road. Santa and the elves of the Juno Skate Club will host that skate. Children 12 and under will skate free. Children and adults are encouraged to wear holiday warm clothes. And then, keeping up the Christmas season, on Sunday, November 27th, this coming Sunday at 3 p.m., at the Douglas Community United Methodist Church, there'll be a tuba Christmas concert. Thank you. well, a little appropriate music for our weather conditions. There is a winter weather advisory that is in effect until 9 tomorrow morning, and we're looking for an overnight snow accumulation of 3 to 5 inches. So letting it snow is exactly what we're doing here. The lows should be around 27 tonight. The winds southeast, 10 to 20 miles per hour. The snow hopefully will slack off a little bit tonight with only 1 to 2 inches overnight. A warm evening, probably not much colder than 31 or so. And east winds in the morning will become light and variable. And then Saturday night, it's mostly cloudy. Sunday, mostly cloudy. And then Monday, we start to get some rain mixed in with the snow. So if you're going to shovel the driveway, you might as well do it while the snow is still light. Or if you aren't into shoveling the driveway and you'd look for a crafts project for instead of that, we have Sarah Newsham here with us from the Canvas. She's the Art Studios Program Assistant, and she's going to tell us about the upcoming class schedule at the Canvas, which is open to everyone, is right?
It is. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Pat. If you don't want to shovel snow, maybe tomorrow morning or the next 4 Saturdays, we have a great holiday pottery class coming up. It's a hand building, and it's designed to be a gift class, so you can make something for yourself or something for someone else, and we'll have it fired and ready for you to hand out.
What is hand building?
It's pottery that you do on your hand. We have the wheels where you would throw pots on a wheel, or then you can create things with your hands. So our last holiday hand building class was around Halloween. So we had these great pumpkins being made, and then these kind of like spooky haunted house candle holders and all sorts.
Really, who teaches that class?
That's taught by Luis Knutstada. And it's the next 4 Saturdays, so it's November 26th through December 17th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and there's still some space in it. It's really good as a parent-child class, maybe if you have a kid who's under 8, can't quite manipulate the clay enough by themselves, so it's good to work as a team, or it's nice to have a Saturday morning coffee with a friend and then head to pottery. So.
What's the Canvas charge for their classes?
That class is $155, and it includes all
because
the materials.
All the materials and
everything. Yeah, the clay, the glaze, the firing time.
Mm-hmm. So 4 weeks of hand-built pottery. Did you say 4?
Yes,
yeah,
four.
Four weekends of hand-built pottery for just a little over $100.
Yeah.
And maybe come out of it with a personalized Christmas present for someone.
I know. Who doesn't love something handmade?
Yeah. So what else you got?
Well, we also have another great handmade class for cards. Sherry McDonald is teaching a pop-up card-making class. So it's going to go and deal with cutting different papers to arrange them in different ways. And she wasn't sure how many cards everyone will end up making because it'll be different with how intricate you want to be and try it out. But she always has such a wonderful selection of papers. And that one we actually just did a price slash on because we're like, oh gosh, you know,
a bargain class.
I know.
What are we charging?
We are charging it's $25 a class, or if you take all 3 classes, it's only $60.
Okay.
And that's going to be on Thursdays. It starts this upcoming Thursday, December 1st. So then it hits the next 3 Thursdays. So
what,
it goes until the 15th.
Day?
It's in the evening, 6:30 to 9 p.m.
Yeah. So another possible family activity, do you think?
It could be. It's kind of late, though, know, with school. But,
older
yeah, you
children,
could totally
perhaps.
Do it an all-age, make your family holiday cards or just any kind of pop-up card you wanted.
A lot of folding and then lettering? Or
folding, cutting, probably some lettering, too.
Okay.
Sherry, I just saw her over at the public market. She told me she made a great display over at the Douglas Public Library. So if you want to kind of see some examples of what she's talking about, that'd be a good place to check it out.
Yeah, the public market's on today. You said you ran over from a booth that you're sitting over there?
Yeah, we have the Canvas booth. We're right inside the doors. We have our December schedule and then just came out with our January schedule, so you can see the latest classes.
Have the crowds slowed down any?
It's pretty busy. I was shoving my way through to get over here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your braving the crowd as well as the snow.
Oh, of course. I was shocked by the snow. It had blue skies when I went in there today.
Yeah. So what else?
We have a pie plate class, another pottery class with Louise case, and that's always a really popular one, where you work with molds to create your own pie plates. And that's another good gift, or just for yourself, for all these pies. I know this morning I was looking at some nice pie plates left in my house from last night. They're still full, though, so I don't know what quite was underneath them. But that's going to be on Sundays, starting next week, December 4th. And it's two Sundays, the 4th and the 11th. And it's in the morning. And that's since it's 2 weeks, it's $75. So that's a pretty good deal. So usually you get to make two pie plates.
So you'd have time to make two pie plates at that, and then you could bake two pies and put them in them and give them to a friend
or to pals
for Christmas.
That'd be a great gift.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Handmade plate that you get to keep and a pie filled.
I'm all in favor.
I know, me too. If anyone wants to take that class and then stop by my house, you're more than welcome to.
Should we give our addresses up?
Even dropping it off at the canvas, we accept pies there, too.
Okay, yeah. What else?
There's this great sun catchers and ornament class. If you've been wondering about making any stained glass pieces, we've recently started up a stained glass class with Joel Abbott, who's instructing it, and he's been working with larger pieces of stained glass, but decided to pare it down in December to get a good three-week class in. So you'll get to design a sun catcher, then you cut the glass and you solder in between it to make something really nice to catch the little bit of rays that we get.
Now, when is that class?
That class, it's on Sunday evenings. It's December 14th through the 18th, and it's from 6 to 9 p.m.
I'm seeing another Christmas present here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that could catch something. Yeah. It could be in the window or even like an ornament to hang somewhere.
Well, it could catch Christmas tree lights
nicely,
wouldn't it?
It does. Yeah,
dangling down in front of the tree or something like
that. And Joel,
on Sunday morning, on Christmas morning.
That would be great. Joel's actually one of my housemates, so I have a bunch of his stained glass all over my house in the way that it's been catching. It's just beautiful. So he's a fantastic teacher.
And we should make every gain we can on any sun that shows in Juneau.
I know, really. Yeah. And if there's no sun, there are those lights.
So we have three pottery classes and a stained glass class. Do you have any more? You've got a big, thick program
a
there.
A huge program. Tons of stuff. We have another jewelry class coming up. And this one is a stone setting class. Rowan Law, he's been doing a lot of silver working with us. And this is kind of the next step. So if you've taken one of the jewelry classes, which is a good portion of people because his classes are always full, the next step is kind of the stone setting where you get to learn with silver and base metals. And then Rowan said he would cover topics of like soldering and sawing, filing and adding texture. And it's a three-week class starting on Mondays, December 5th. Through the 19th, and that's Monday evenings again, 6 to 9.
Before Christmas, so once more, we have yet another Christmas
present. I know. Who doesn't love a nice ring or pair of earrings?
My list's taken care of, so.
And then you get to take all the classes. Yeah. I mean, it could be a gift to either take the class yourself and then make something for someone else. We also do gift certificates if you want to take get someone this class so then they can make something and then learn into it. It's kind of that gift that keeps giving, you know. Maybe you get something back for it, too.
So the trick is you give it to a friend who's going to do the class, and then they'll make the pie plate for you.
Yes, and fill it with the pie.
Not bad. I like this. It's got a certain devious note to it.
They are tricky
sort of Christmassy.
Like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so more?
There are more. Oh, but I also want to mention that we are doing our Golden Passes again this year, which is our deal where if you purchase it before the end of this year, you get unlimited classes from now until next December.
Ooh.
So it's a fantastic deal. And as soon as you really take probably four pottery classes or a couple painting classes or jewelry making classes, it's paid for itself.
So check me here. If I had bought one of these last year, I could take all of these classes we've talked about at no charge at this point.
Exactly.
Right?
Or if you buy one right now from me over at Public Market, then you can take these classes for free and then all of next year's classes too.
Oh.
So it's one of our fundraising tools, the Money Supports Canvas Programming.
This golden card must cost huge amounts of money.
Oh, gosh. It's actually not that much at all. It's $1,000 for an individual,
mm-hmm.
and really four classes in, and it pays for itself. Another great gift. We also have family passes for a family of four. It's $2,500. Mm-hmm. So, and about 75% of that's tax deductible, too.
Yeah, you have those at your booth?
I have those at my booth, at Public Market.
And if you buy one now, you get the year actually has an extra month in it.
Is it that does, all of December.
Okay, so we get a 13-month deal.
13
if
months.
We buy it right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, November and December, so it's a little bit more than that.
It's true. If you decide to take tomorrow's class.
Yeah. Yeah.
That could be.
This is amazing. The Canvas is really a wonderful and kind of under – you get your classes full, but there's a lot of people. You say to them, you know, there's something going on at the Canvas, and they look at you with a kind of a blank look on their face. It's like people don't realize what a wonderful facility that is and how many incredible things you offer to the community.
Yeah, so, it really is. It's a community setting. It's for people of – all ages, all abilities, whether that's developmental, artistic. We really just want to have this place where you can come and be in, whether that's to create something on the pottery wheel or in a jewelry class or come to our poetry slams. We try to make sure that there's something for everyone.
Now, all the time you were talking, I could hear pencil scribbling all over Juno, but there may have been someone who missed some of this. Do you have a website? Or?
We do. Okay. All of our classes are online, and our website is www.canvasarts.org. And you can also register for our classes online.
Terrific. Okay, well, Sarah, thank you so much for turning us on to this bunch of classes, and I hope maybe some of our listeners will drift into the to the market over the next 2 days.
Yeah,
you're there
if anything.
Sunday, right?
Yes, we are. Okay. Come say hello.
Yeah, and maybe buy one of those gift memberships for a special friend.
They would. That'd be great.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Thanks, Seth.
This is about 3:27, about 27 minutes after 3, and we have this winter weather advisory that is out until 9 a.m. Tomorrow morning. We're looking at a snow accumulation overnight of 3 to 5 inches. Our lows will be around 27 degrees, and southeast winds tonight 10 to 20 miles per hour. We're expecting the snow to diminish overnight, maybe another inch or two, and the highs around 31. East winds tonight 10 to 20 miles per hour. Those will change around in the morning to become light and variable. Saturday and Sunday, more of the same pretty much, and then Monday we're looking at some of that getting mixed in with snow, so it'll get a little bit heavier, and that means that if you want to shovel out the driveway, you probably ought to do it before it really gets heavy.
I am Spirit of You.
I am Spirit of You.
I am Spirit of You.
I am a leader.
Volunteer.
I give back to my community.
Culture.
I am Spirit of You.
I am Spirit of You.
Here's my story.
Here are stories.
Suicide prevention is important work in Alaska, where the problem is considered an epidemic and young people are greatly at risk. Recently, youth leaders gathered at an Alaska Association of Student Governments conference and decided to take this issue on. ASOG hosted a statewide public service announcement contest open to Alaska youth. They received more than 30 video entries, and 4 came out with top honors. Barrow's Jaden Nethercott and Cordova's Stephanie Sisson took first and second place, while Bethel's Michael White and Klawak Sophie Clark tied for third. We're hearing part of Jaden's winning PSA now. In the short video message, we see a young man who's thinking about suicide. He's been bullied and is dealing with hard stuff in his life. Then, someone reaches out to him and helps turn things around for the boy. Here's 10th grader Jaden Nethercott.
The idea came sort of as I wanted to target not the victim, but rather the people around the victim and kind of what you can do to help someone else.
The top 8 Suicide Media Contest winners' pieces are up on YouTube. ASOG is the first student group in Alaska to make suicide prevention one of its top priorities. If you or someone you know needs help, call the CARE line, 877-266-4357. That's 877-266-HELP. I'm Shanna Sheehy.
I am a teenager.
I am an Alaskan.
I give back.
Do you see me?
Recognize youth ages 12 to 19 at spiritofyouth.org.
Provided by the Association of Alaska School Boards, Initiative for Community Engagement.
The Bridge will be selling sugar-free treats at Safeway this Saturday, and they'll also be selling homemade wreaths. Profits all support Southeast seniors. And Capital Transit announces that they are still implementing heavy snow route changes until midnight tonight. Service will be discontinued at St. Anne's Avenue, Cordova Street, Davis Avenue, Lemon Creek Road, and Franklin and 4th Streets downtown. There's no service on Cordova Street, there's no service to St. Anne's, there's no service on Franklin or 4th Street, and there's no service on Davis Avenue or Lemon Creek Road. Unless otherwise notified, Capital Transit will return to normal service tomorrow, but the winter weather advisory stays in effect until 9 o'clock in the morning and could get extended. So keep an eye on things and find out if you're dependent on bus transportation. Your bus may not come to where you expect it to. I have 3 guests in the studio with me, one of whom arrived even while I was making that little announcement. And so we have Nora and Nick Downauer here, and Lance is going to be, I think the 3 of you are going to be preparing or presenting a show at the library or a performance and a talk series, readings and like that at the library this Saturday, is that right?
Saturday from 3 to 5 at the downtown library, and we hope there's the snow lets up a little bit and lets everybody out.
Well, it's cleared off the roads, so they have no excuse not to come out, and there's nothing else they can do. So
this is, true, yeah.
This is logical. Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is an annual event for Native American Heritage Month, and the library over in recent years, we tried to get local writers. I'm sort of a shirt tail person here. At Lance and Nora are the card-carrying Native American writers, and I put myself in with
they showed us their cards as they
had, right. I put myself in with the German-American writers, and Steinbeck and Vonnegut.
Oh, okay. These guys. Well, you're in good company. Then.
Yeah. So anyhow, we every year we've tried to feature that, and it's always been kind of fun, very low-key. So if people haven't been to a poetry reading before, there's no reason to be intimidated. There's usually cookies and goodies there, and we have a good time reading and talking about her writing that we do.
Now, you were the poet laureate of Alaska for 5 years?
I was the longest reigning laureate, not through any talent, but some of the old-time...
No. We're not buying.
Well, the some of the old-time Junoites will remember Carol Berry Davis, and they had an organization, the Juno Poetry Society, and they nominated the poets laureate, and there were John Haynes and Sheila Nickerson and several others, and they went defunct during my tenure. So the part of the trick was to find an organization that wanted to sponsor the program.
So you held the post down to keep it from going.
That's right. Yes, it was a act of above and beyond the call of duty, but I toughed it out.
They now call that the Writer Laureate, and I had the pleasure of interviewing Peggy Shoemaker,
yes,
who is the current Writer Laureate for the
yes,
state.
Yes, again, well deserved. And they sort of evolved into that, away from just poetry. So the genres revolve, poetry and fiction and drama. And I think there's a 2-year term now. So other Southeasterners have had it, John Straley quite recently, but just spread it around.
So, Nora, how, A, are you going to keep him from hogging the mic at the library? And, B, what do you plan to present?
I forgot my hearing aid.
Oh, dear.
Well, you can talk into the microphone.
Let me say it louder. What are you planning to present at the library? What will you be doing?
My old stuff.
Fine. Excerpts from books. You have many, many published works.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
They're all my favorites.
Okay. Is there, I'm going to ask Lance a question about the program up on campus, but is there a piece that you could read for us here? Is there a short poem that might be part of what you're going to do? Could you give us a little reading?
No,
okay. All right. Well, I had hoped to. Anyway, Lance, you've taken over a program that I think was started by the Dowan Hours. Not taken over, but I think you're now in charge of a program that began at UAS several years ago to expand the amount of Plinkett education on campus?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have a number of students who, and the advantage of having a small campus is we have a number of students who have a wide variety of interests. And so we have students who want to learn how to speak Tlingit, want to study Alaska Native Studies, but also want to write books. And so it's really fantastic because we can work together as a small community and say, oh, well, you should take a class from this, from Emily Wall, who teaches poetry, or Ernestine Hayes, who teaches fiction. Mm-hmm. And so the connections are right there, and we can also develop multimedia projects. And so I have a couple of students now in an Alaska Native Cultures class who it's traditionally like an anthropology class, but they're going to write, there's potentially some creative works that are going to be developed, like these things that are video poems where you've got a series of photographs, and over the top of it is a poem. So you've got this, the meaning that's created by the series of images, and also the meaning created by the words. And so it's really exciting, and it's a tremendous honor to be associated with Dick and Nora in any way. I think Richard has done so much with us and for us, I'd have a hard time not calling him Tlingit. And so I'm not a fan of the card-carrying qualifications. But, and so up at the university, where the things that I've loved about their work and also people like Robert Bringhurst and others is the attempt to take traditional oratory in a language like Tlingit or Haida or other Alaska Native languages, and then not just translate that, but try and capture what's going on within the language and recreate it within English. Because in order to tell a story or in order to stand up and give a speech, you had to be a master of that language. And that's the same thing we see in poetry and in theater, is you really have to have a strong command of language in order to put yourself up there. And so It's really fun to be a part of that.
Lance, the video pieces that you were talking about, are those being produced in English or in Tlingit?
Those would be in English.
And so oh, okay.
It's an Alaska Native Cultures class, which is more sort of anthropology or what we'd call Alaska Native Studies in general. And then, but I do encourage, especially at the second and third year students, to think about projects that they could be doing in Tlingit mm-hmm. that are creative and that show either interpretations of the way the language has always been used or new ways to use the language. Because as teachers and students of the language, what we love to see is just new ways for it to be put to use and so that it's always a living, breathing, changing thing.
Richard, you were seminal. You and Nora were seminal in bringing Tlingit education to the secondary, to the college level. Mm-hmm. Is the direction that Lance is talking about, is that a surprise to you? Did you expect it to go there? Did you have an idea when you started this where it might lead?
Well, certainly not way back when, but the exciting thing about having Lance do this is I think it's going to bring a whole new generation to this. And I keep telling Lance and some of our students that that was me sort of 40 years ago studying Russian and German and with this great enthusiasm. And that to me is very refreshing to see because my main concern coming with some of what Lance talked about is in the translation, but my background was in European literature, and I didn't think that we were treating Alaska Native literature with the same respect and methods that we would do with, say, Greek literature or European, Russian, German, and any of that. So that was pretty much what I wanted to do, was you know, be sure that we're not treating treating it as children's literature, mm-hmm. or say, oh well, we only do Native stuff in the fourth grade. This, you know, we don't do Julius Caesar or Macbeth in the fourth grade. So there are different levels of that, and also the new technology, and that's where I'm. I guess people use the term immigrants or native born in technology. So my generation is sort of the immigrant, you know, and learning a. All of a sudden, as an adult, what a keyboard and a computer was, where Lance is of the more the generation that was surrounded by it, sort of born into that. So I turned to him and some of the other younger people for help with some of the ideas, like interactive. What we've wanted for years is to have a Tlingit text and then the translation, but also the sound. And so we have now that technology where you could click on a line and then have the voice of the storyteller come to you. And we've never been able to do that before. And now with video, and some of the students ask, why didn't you use your camcorder? And we say, hey, kids, you know, we're talking like some of the tapes we've got now from the 1950s and the 1960s. That technology just did not exist. Mm-hmm. But it does now, and so the sky is the limit. I'm still kind of a book fan. I kind of like to look at them and smell them and open them and feel the bindings pop. But there's that whole new direction, so I'm glad to see it. And the kids relate to it. I mean, that's their home, the native born into this.
In a really interesting way, we're kind of like a lot of third world countries where the native population particularly almost jumped in. There are so many third world countries where electronic communication mm-hmm. is considered to be totally natural in a third world setting. And it's like, to me, that seems real strange because, you know, everything that I grew up with was print. Mm-hmm. And television, I remember seeing my first television picture. It was on a 4-inch round screen,
yes.
Which dates me.
about a yard long, too, as
yeah,
I recall.
Yeah, right. You know, a military surplus radar scope was what it was, anyway. Yeah. Nora, while we were talking, I think you got some help selecting a piece.
Yeah.
Could we hear it?
My part in, I just want to say that my part in working on Tlingit is the language. And translating them into English But that takes both of us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's the English person, and I'm more Tlingit. So, what I would like to do. Excuse me. This is poem I wrote in Nome, Alaska. We went up there with Troy Harjo. I don't know if you know her, but some people might know her in the audience. And it starts off by listening for Native voices. Native Writers Workshop, Nome, Alaska, for Joy Harjo. Trapped voices, frozen under sea ice of English. Buko, surging to be heard. We say, listen for sounds. They are as important as voices. Listen, 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 listen. That's my, and then I have my favorite, Granddaughters Dancing. Granddaughters dancing, blossoms swaying in the wind. That's it.
I'm just sitting here absorbing these images. You catch visual in words. You capture such wonderful visual thoughts that I when you were when you read that last little short piece, I had to close my eyes because it was like I could see what you were doing, and it's wonderful. It really is.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's the power of poetry is the ability to capture something that is just flat not there in prose. It can't be done somehow. We mentioned Peggy Brubaker, Shoemaker. She her piece is published really two ways. There's the book, and then there's also a collection of poetry that many of the pieces are both in both books, because they stem from her experience after she was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating to me that they were better poems than the story. And usually I'm a story guy, you know, but I loved the images in poetry, and I thought to myself that the story is not as nearly as strong. And it was because she was trying to capture something horrible that was going on in her mind and to get it to work somehow, and it required the poem to make it play. So you're published as a poet.
Yes.
Will you read poetry at the thing?
Oh, certainly. I never know exactly what I'm going to read until I kind of see who the audience is.
Put the book open, and
And if they're kids and some of the families there, then I can read poems for them. And I try to keep readings fairly light because I have some pretty heavy stuff. But it's more where you want to look at the book and meditate, and they don't always go over as something you're listening to just as a one-time thing. But we'll see. I'll definitely read something.
Lance, what are you planning on presenting?
I'll probably read some poetry that I have from a couple of the pieces are from a workshop with Peggy Shoemaker.
Oh.
So it's really fun to talk about her. She was up in Fairbanks, and I got to see her read from a number of her collections, and I did a writer's retreat with her, which is a lot of fun. And so it's really exciting to be invited. Most of my academic work now revolves around language and culture work, although before I came here, I was writing fiction and poetry and drama. So, yeah, I'll bring some poetry and talk about a number of different things probably in between. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be very fun, exciting.
Well, here is a wonderful opportunity then. There's one more person involved in this. Carol Feller Brady will be there as
yes,
well. Okay.
Thank you for reminding us of that. She probably didn't want to wade through the snowdrifts here in China today.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, are not familiar with her work. She's an older writer and has a wonderful autobiographical
book. And I think she was telling me there's even a second edition of it out now, which...
grew up in Sitka under horrifying circumstances, yeah. Alcoholic parents, and mm-hmm. she was basically forced to become the adult in the household at a very young age, yeah.
So she's a very very strong lady, and I think it'll be nice to for her to have that more public recognition than she's had in the past as a writer.
So Richard and Nora and Lance and Carol Feller-Brady all at the library at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Brave the snow, go mm-hmm. out, a wonderful little thing with cookies and coffee, right?
Yeah, okay. Be there, so, be square.
With refreshments, not to be missed, and I think should be wonderful. More of Nora reading her wonderful images, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Well, look forward to it.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 25th of November, 2011. It was on this day, 1952, Agatha Christie's murder mystery play, The Mousetrap, opened in London's West End. You could still see it there tonight if you had money for a ticket. Tickets range from £16 to £60. 59 years it's been running, the longest running show of any kind in the world. Ran at the Ambassador's Theatre for almost 22 years, and then the St. Martin's Theatre next door. The Mousetrap, a classic whodunit, where strangers are assembled in a guest house, a murderer on the loose, they all suspect each other. Queen Mary was a fan of Agatha Christie's, and Agatha Christie wrote the play for Queen Mary for a 30-minute radio show called Three Blind Mice. It was part of a BBC broadcast in 1947, honoring Queen Mary on her 80th birthday. Agatha Christie then turned that half-hour radio show into a short story and then into a play. The actor who originated the part of the detective in the play, Richard Attenborough, years later admitted, "We didn't think it was very good," the play that is, "and neither did Agatha Christie herself. She thought it would run for only a few months." It was on this day in 1947, the president of the Motion Picture Association of America announced an official blacklist of the Hollywood Ten, a group of 9 screenwriters, 1 director, accused of being members of the Communist Party. The blacklist was a concession to the House Committee on Un-American Activities, who'd been investigating communists in the movie business. One of the people who came before the committee was the playwright Bertolt Brecht. He answered the committee's questions. He stated truthfully that he had never been a member of the Communist Party, and he skirted other questions about his political beliefs, and the very next day he left for Europe. The remaining 10 each had been members of the party, not an unusual thing back in the 30s and 40s. They declined to answer the committee's questions. They were cited for contempt of Congress, and all of them would serve time in prison. And it's the birthday of the children's author P.D. Eastman, born Amherst, 1909, who helped to create and write for the character Mr. Magoo, also author of children's books Go Dog Go and Are You My Mother? Here are 2 poems for today, 2 short poems by Hal Sirovitz. The first, Fun, 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 When the Guy Goes Away. "That's a strange question to ask a woman at a bar," she said. "Are you having fun? If I wanted to have fun, I wouldn't have come here. This is a lot of work. I have to decide which guy out of all the jerks here has the potential of becoming my future husband. I mostly just have looks to go on, since the conversation is usually minimal, like the one we're having now." And showing her my trust. "Let me say right off the bat," she said, "I never invite the guy back to my apartment unless I can trust him. I don't know how long that can take. With some guys, it only takes a few dates. Others have never gotten to that point, like the one who's going to meet me for dessert after you and I finish eating. Two poems by Hal Seravitz from Before, During, and After, published by Soft Skull Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, partners with the National Endowment for the Arts in Poetry Out Loud, a national poetry recitation contest for high school students. More information at poetryfoundation.org. Written by Heather McPherson. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's about 8 minutes before 4 o'clock, and you're in tune with KTOO News. This is Juno Afternoon. My next guest is the new CEO of the United Way campaign in Juno, Wayne Stevens.
Good afternoon.
Say it again, because I told you I'd turn your mic on.
Good afternoon, sir.
There you go. It worked much better that time. So, you're taking over, but you've been in Juno for a while.
I've been in Alaska for over 40 years, here in Juneau since July of 2004, and just started with United Way middle of July this past summer, and off and running, working for United Way.
Other than handing out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces of paper whenever you meet anyone, what's the job of the CEO?
Well, I serve at the pleasure of the board. The board provides leadership and basically run the organization. I'm the day-to-day operations person, manage staff, run the campaign, which we're in the throes of right now, and do coordination with our partner agencies and the like. We have a leadership program that we'll be kicking off again here mid-January, Leadership Juno, and it's fourth year, I believe, and a number of other programs that we work with and work with our partner agencies on. So varied and sundry tasks, depending on the time and day and day of week.
So United Way probably drives toward a goal.
Well,
what is the current goal?
Well, the goal is to support certainly our partner agencies, but to be agents of change in the social service arena.
Juno has, just this morning, and it was either this morning's paper or yesterday morning's, well, it's two parts so far.
Two-part series.
About, mm-hmm. Talking about the inebriates downtown. Is United Way involved in that?
Well, it was certainly with the homeless piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Our partnership supports the Juno Homeless Coalition and their efforts to try to find ways to help those individuals less fortunate than ourselves.
What part does United Way play in that process?
Well, we support the Glory Hole as one of our partner agencies. We have members who serve on the Homeless Coalition Committee, the task force coalition group that meets to hold those discussions. And, we're involved sort of in the periphery of it, but not directly in it.
Americans are... there's always talk about the fact that Americans don't give as much as they should. And I don't know who they're comparing us to. I read newspaper stories sometimes about the idea that Americans should give more. And I'm wondering what the experience is. Are we a giving people? Are Junoites a giving people?
I know Alaskans in general are very giving. When you look at a scientific study of giving, subsistence sharing doesn't show up on a form for the IRS. When people help neighbors in non-cash ways, those transactions, if you will, don't show up in a recordable format. So I think it's a bit of a misnomer to say that Alaskans are less giving, maybe less giving in measurable ways that reflect on an individual's tax return, probably. Mm-hmm. But when there's a sharing of the bounty from the sea or the land from hunting or fishing or subsistence gathering, those acts of compassion and sharing simply don't show up in recordable manners. I lived in the Arctic for 9 years in Barrow. And when the Whaling Festival came every spring, there was lots of sharing going on, but no one with a clipboard saying, okay, you got 5 pounds of this, and you got that, and oh, and you've got 4 ducks. It just doesn't get recorded. So yeah. It's a different kind of giving.
So in Juneau now, people, of course, can donate to United Way, and that's covered by a lot of this stuff. Are there other things that people can do to help your campaign?
Well, certainly being aware of the fact that there's a workplace campaign underway this fall, and if a business or group have not been contacted by United Way, feel free to give us a shout either via our website at UnitedWaySEAK.org or at our office, 463-5530, and we'd be glad to make an appointment and come out, talk with you or your employees and develop a giving campaign. And certainly there are 36 partner agencies that can always use volunteers. There's always places and times for people to give of themselves and of their time in supporting those organizations, helping the Glory Hole cook a breakfast or working with the Aware Shelter. They've got a program for young girls, Girls on the Run. They're looking for facilitators for the running program, trainers to help teach the girls how to pace themselves and run appropriately and be role models. So there's lots of ways to participate and to give. And the United Way campaign really is a way to introduce people to the art and act of philanthropy. We have in Juneau almost 18,000 employed individuals. And if every one of those employed individuals were to give a dollar a week, it'd be almost $900,000 that we would have available to use to support the good work of our partner agencies. So a little bit from everyone goes a tremendous distance. So it's the art of introducing people to philanthropy.
Wayne, we have just a couple of seconds more. Is there a special message you'd like to pass on to the listeners?
I think the special message is today we don't think about the things we may need help with someday, but there's hospice programs and adult daycare programs and emergency services by Red Cross that you don't go to bed tonight thinking, oh, I'm glad Red Cross is there because I'll need them tomorrow when my house burns down. But know that those agencies are there to support you, and your support helps to ensure that they're there when you do need them.
You're listening to KTOO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau in the Valley and Auk Bay Area. You can hear us on K276 AF at 103.1, Lemon and Schweitzer Creek at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM at 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS at 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable, on digital channel 871, KRNN is on 872, KXLL is on 873, and we're online at www.ktoo.org. Help from my friends, gonna try.